You're listening to KCPW. I'm Roger McDonough. The 2018 Utah legislative session is now into its second week, and as we've done for several years now, throughout this year's meeting of lawmakers, we'll be joined by Chase Thomas, Policy and Advocacy Counsel with Alliance for a Better Utah, for weekly updates. And Chase, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You know, as always, there are just too many bills, too many pieces of legislation for us to focus on all of them. And do you know how many bills we're talking about, actually?
I think there's about 400 right now.
Okay. So that's that have been filed, and there's probably a lot more coming.
Yeah, there's been over 1,200 requested. We don't know how many of those will actually come out, but it's 400 so far.
Okay. Well, since we can't talk about all of them, let's focus on a few highlight measures. Transportation, for example, appears to be a big issue this year. The House Speaker and the Senate President have both highlighted that as something that needs addressing. In various ways. So what efforts are underway on transportation? Chase.
The legislature over this past year had a task force come together. It's called the Transportation Governance and Funding Task Force. And just this past week, they released what their studies had led to, a huge 117-page bill that would reform UTA after all the scandals that they've had over the past few years, and then also change how we're funding transportation here in the state.
Okay. Reforming UTA. First, let's talk about that part, and then we'll just jump on to funding and kind of move past this. But reform UTA how?
So it would take the board, which currently is a 16-member volunteer board, and bring that down to a 3-member board of full-time commissioners.
Paid board members.
Uh-huh. Paid full-time board members.
And 3 of them as opposed to 16. Okay.
Yes.
What's the justification for that? Do you know that?
I mean, one of the justifications is they wanted to depoliticize the board. Right now, there's board members from a ton of different cities and everything, so it's going to bring it down to only the counties and have the county mayor and the county councils together nominate people to the governor who will then appoint it. So they're hoping this process takes out the politics.
We'll see if that works.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one part of it is reforming UTA. The other part, again, as you said, is changing sort of the structure of funding or how funding is allocated, maybe?
Yeah, so the main thing is that if they're going to be bringing UTA into a tighter structure, they want to be able to give money for public transit projects, which is something that we need here in Utah. We're growing very fast. They want to be a multimodal transportation state. So they're going to be giving funding to the Utah Transit Authority, but at the same time, they're going to be making other ways to bring in this money. Higher registration fees for electric and hybrid vehicles. They're going to be creating a pilot project for taxing drivers per mile usage of highways. So
if you drive more, you get taxed more.
Yeah. So instead of using a gas tax, they would then be taxed for how many miles they're driving each year. Okay. So they're doing these new experimental ways to bring more funding so that we can fund public transit in addition to highways.
And at the same time, a tax increase that is sort of baked into this. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, the state allowed counties to adopt a tax for public transit stuff if they wanted to. This was Proposition 1 here in Salt Lake County. Voters decided not to. But with this bill, the state has said, you have so many years to adopt this or else we're going to adopt it for you.
we're going to impose the tax on you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, increasing funding for transportation one way or another. And we'll see what gets passed. Chase, let's take a pretty drastic turn here from transportation to birth control, and we should probably apologize for being two men talking about something that is most often seen as, a women's issue, but that's what's happening at the legislature as well. Of course, Republican Representative Ray Ward has a measure to fund birth control initiatives for low-income women. Chase, tell us about that.
Yeah, this is HB 12, which would use Medicaid to provide family planning services for low-income women here in Utah. Basically, this would direct the Department of Health to submit a waiver to the federal government where they would receive funding from the federal government to provide these services, family planning services, to women, in addition to IUDs, which I guess is under part of that, birth control. Yeah, and that's it in a nutshell.
How has this proposal been received on the Hill, Chase?
Whenever it comes to Medicaid, I mean, it's a 50-50 split on legislators. Some don't want us to move any closer to socialism, like Senator Alan Christensen says every once in a while in meetings. But then also, I think Republican legislators are realizing that ultimately this saves money for the state. One way or another, the state ends up paying for the services these women need and low-income Utahns need. This bill actually could save up to $7 million for the state.
Mm. Okay. So you're cautiously optimistic about the prospects for this bill?
Yes.
Okay.
Cautiously.
All right. Well, Chase, just in the remaining time, we've got time for one more bill to discuss. Last week, a bill called Hannah's Bill relating to crisis hotlines advanced at the legislature. Tell us about Hannah's Bill.
Yeah, so this was a, I don't know, pretty emotional time up the legislature. Hannah was a teenager who a few years ago called into a crisis hotline, and nobody was there to answer the phone. She ultimately committed suicide. And this is something that we here in the state have been looking at for a while now, is the drastic spike in suicides, especially among youth. And so this bill would mandate that crisis lines either have to be operating continuously or be able to transfer into a line that is operating continuously, so that no matter which number you call into, there will always be someone to answer the phone.
Someone there to hear your plea for help.
Yes.
Chase Thomas, thank you so much for coming in again this year for these Better Utah legislative updates, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.